Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's a common misconception that therapists have their shit together and all our relationships are perfect.
Which is total bullshit.
I'm Vanessa Bennett, licensed therapist.
I'm John Kim, licensed therapist.
And this is our story.
So we get a lot of questions and we ignore them. That's not true. Vanessa ignores them. I try to answer as many questions as I can. It's a full-time job. And so I convince...
Yeah, well, you also put a request out for questions. That's different. Like, if I put a request out for questions, I try my best to get to as many as I can. The problem also with being a therapist on an Instagram is that you get a lot of DMs of people just, like, asking you therapy questions in your DMs. And first and foremost, that's unethical or illegal for me to respond, which is why I mostly ignore you all. But also, I don't have time.
Wait a minute. Why is it not ethical or legal?
It's not ethical to give somebody therapy advice via DM. It's not. It's actually listed now.
Well, wouldn't you say that this
is... Or maybe it's legal, not ethical. But either way, it's listed.
Yeah. I think it's implied that this is not therapy if you're answering people's DMs.
It's implied, but...
Anyway. So we are here today and we are going to answer your questions and we're going to do it often because... it's important.
You know, we can do lives, but not everybody gets to see that. So I like this idea of kind of tackling a few questions here and there on the podcast too.
Also, don't you find that talking into a microphone is sometimes better? It allows you to, I don't know, when there's a camera on my face, I'm not as calm. I'm not like...
You play with your hair a lot?
I play with my hair. I'm pinching my nose. I have a fat nose. I feel like I'm on... stage, so I have to perform and dance like a monkey. Well, if with a podcast, it's like there's more room to just breathe, not worry about your hair, and focus on answering questions instead of tap dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
We pull these up randomly, and so. We have not prepared, so Vanessa doesn't know what I'm going to pull up, and she may pull some up, and I don't know, so here we go. Question one, what steps can I take to not being toxic in a relationship? And this is by, should I say who it's by?
No, I don't think
okay, because they're usually just usernames.
Yeah, so what steps can you take to not be the toxic person in a relationship?
Yes. Not I'll go first. Don't pick toxic relationships.
No. They're asking if they themselves are the toxic person, what steps can they take to not be the toxic person?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. To not be toxic in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You go first. I need to buy time.
Well, I think there's a lot to this question, right? I think the first thing that comes up for me is there's a sense of self-awareness in this question. Maybe somebody has said something to them in the past, or recently that made them think that they might be the toxic. And I say the word toxic, like if you could see me, I'm doing air quotes. I don't love that term. I think all of us have issues and baggage and we all bring shit to the table in relationships. And unless somebody is like a full blown narcissistic personality disorder, I don't know that it's fair to call anybody or ourselves toxic. I'm really starting to push against that labeling, but that's an aside. I hear a level of self-awareness in this. So I think that if you are the one that's starting to become aware of or worried about toxic tendencies that you're bringing into a relationship, that's great, because that means that you've taken that first step, right? You're ready to look at yourself. I would say the second thing is going to be starting to unpack some of your patterns, right? Like getting maybe that third party, that coach or that therapist, to start helping you look at some of the patterns that you know come up in relationships, so that you can start to get underneath into the why, right? Like, why do you have these tendencies? Why do you have these patterns? It's really about building emotional intelligence, building your emotional resiliency. This is an exciting question in my opinion. And then, you know, the second thing I would say to that is you need to be in relationship, not necessarily romantic. It could be friend or family or whatever, but you need to be in relationship with somebody who is also safe enough for you to do your work with, so that you don't feel attacked or put down or whatever when you are trying to work through patterns or get to the bottom of things. So that's my response.
I'm going to say, simply put, look inward, you know, and that's the beginning, I think. And that's also what, you know, Vanessa was saying when she's saying, being aware. To be aware, I think you have to look inward, focus on your side of the bed. What are your unhealthy patterns? I'm not a big fan of the word toxic. I'm not a big fan of the word issues. I'm not a big fan of the words doing the work. I'm only not a big fan of them because they're overused. Right. It's not because I don't like the words, but they've been overused so much that they kind of
lose their meaning almost.
Yes, but also they can become stains on people. They could they could become labels. They can make people feel that they are defective. Or I don't like labels at all. So to stamp something as toxic, I don't really like. I like the word maybe healthy, unhealthy. I don't know, but because there's also when you talk about learning. Growing, evolving. When you talk about quote unquote toxic, there's a spectrum there, right? Yeah. It's not just a toxic or not toxic. There's a lot of gray. So the steps that you can take to not be in a toxic relationship, like obviously I was joking, but not choosing toxic people. But I think working on yourself by looking inward, investigating unhealthy patterns, like Vanessa said, why do you do what you do? When you ask yourself why, you follow the thread down and you get to the core, you know, and then you process and work on that. It's never the stuff on the surface, right? It's never like the behavior of throwing chairs. It's why you are getting so angry. If you just focus on the behavior, you're just putting, makeup on?
How, a pig?
Makeup on a pig? No, that's not it. You're putting... Yeah, plaster
makeup on a pig, or putting a band-aid on a bullet hole, which is the one I always say.
Yeah, that's a better one. I like the band-aid on a bullet hole. Makeup on a pig is kind of weird.
That's a thing.
Found someone with everything I desire, but they are still an avoidant like all the others. Why?
I mean, I take personal offense to that as an avoidant. We're not that bad.
Maybe that's why I picked this question.
So my first reaction is you picked them. So take ownership in that. There's a 50-50 here, right? Like you're attracted to avoidance and avoidance are attracted to you. So there's kind of two people in this dynamic. And I think taking a little bit of the blame, even though I just gave you blame, taking a little bit of the blame off your shoulders and realizing that, you know, there's a lot of unconscious stuff at play here with attachment styles. There are reasons why, like, let's just say anxious avoidant are attached to each other, or rather attracted to each other. They activate each other, right? And that's kind of what the nervous system is constantly seeking. So this is another great way to say, what's the why? You got to follow the threads.
Quick plug here. If you want to go deeper with attachment styles, check out the class Deeper in the Lab. It's a live class.
She's great. Tawny's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tawny knows a lot. And you know, it was actually news to me. We had her on our podcast, mine and Danae's, and it was news to me that attachment styles, more recently research is showing there's like a huge spectrum, so much more nuanced than just like, you know, anxious, attached, and secure. Right. So you should definitely take her class.
Still missing my ex, wondering what if despite therapy, journaling, sweat, etc., it's been a year and 18 months. So it's been almost, it's been 2 years. Why did they say a year and 18 months? Why didn't they just say?
It hasn't quite been 2 years yet.
No, 12 months is a year, babe.
Oh, yeah. So 2.5 years.
Yeah, so I missed that too. So it's been,
they probably have a kid.
So not 2.5 years, 12.
A year and 18 months is,
yes,
isn't that 2.5 years?
Oh, you're right. Okay, so Vanessa, Vanessa and I are really bad at math, as you can tell. So instead of 2.5 years, they said a year and 18 months. Yeah, they are speaking kid language. This is a parent. Anyway, still missing my ex. What do you think? What do you do if after 2.5 years, you are still wondering, you know, the what if with your ex, which is very common?
Well, I mean, I'm going to give a very unpopular opinion here, but what can you do? You can't wave a wand and make yourself stop feeling. You can't wave a wand and make yourself get over whatever it is that you're trying to get over. You're doing the things. You're journaling. You're in therapy. You're trying to sit with it. You know, I don't know this person, but I would ask, like, are you really sitting with it? I mean, take a look at what you actually are, quote unquote, processing. Is there anything that you're avoiding kind of looking at and getting up on the table? And are you dating? Honestly, I mean, I know for me, even if I didn't really want to, that was helpful. It was helpful to get out there and meet new people and just start getting excited again, even if it was just because I thought someone was hot. Like, it at least activated that part of my brain. So
Well, but you know what? Sometimes dating backfires in that
makes you miss the person more.
Yeah, you actually go out there and realize there aren't, you know, that many good catches, you know, and so you have a lot of disappointing experiences, and then you're like, oh shit, I really miss the one that got away or whatever, right? I don't believe in the one that got away, but here's my go-to. I say, what are you playing back? You know, that's the question I ask. Are you playing back the highlight reel? Are you playing back things because you feel lonely or because you, you know, haven't experienced intimacy for a long time? Like, are you actually, because there's a difference between missing someone, which is normal, and building a relationship with someone. You have to play back the documentary. You have to play back why it didn't work because that's still there. The other thing is, as you're playing back memories from who you were when you were with that person, right? And of course, those memories are going to be amazing and magical, and you remember them to be, you know, all of that. And it's going to shoot a lot of dopamine. It's going to make you wonder why and what if, and is there another round? But if you were to actually go back as you are now, because you are different, it probably wouldn't be as magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I don't know if that helps.
I have another little tidbit to add to that, which is when I was in therapy in my 20s, my first time in therapy, and I was doing something similar with my college boyfriend, which at that time, I guess we had been broken up for, I don't know, a few years. I remember my therapist giving me this really interesting tip that has stuck with me, which was we walked through what was happening in my life during the time that him and I were together. And yes, he was a part of it, but all the other things. And, you know, for me, it was obviously a very pivotal time in my life, right? Like, I got out of the house for the first time. I became an adult. I was, you know, in college. I moved cities. I had all these new experiences. I traveled the world. And so she had me sit with this question of, is it really him, the person that you're missing? Or are you missing a time in your life that he kind of represents?
Mm, yeah.
And that was really powerful for me because it helped me detach the feeling of like longing and missing and regret and all these things that I was feeling to a time period instead of a specific person. And that really helped me kind of process it in a different way.
Here's the other thing. If you took, for example, your college boyfriend and you picked him up and you placed him in your new setting. So right now you baby, you know, house. I mean, you obviously have more of a, I don't know what the word is, domestic life than you did back in your early 20s. Would that work? Because
we tried it. Remember, I told you, we actually did do that. We had an attempt at a second round and it actually 100% didn't work for exactly the reason that you're saying.
Well, I'm saying that because a lot of times it works in different environments. So, you know, if someone is, say, in a band, or if you have a creative overlap, or if it's a time in your life when you are, I don't know, nomadic or traveling, and that person's on the same path, that can produce a lot of glue and connection, and that could be exciting. But you know what, if, you know, 10, 20 years later, you're at a different place and now you're trying to build a family or something, it may not work because it just worked because of the environment or that the time that you guys were in your
timing.
Life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just to kind of give a personal anecdote, cause I think it's helpful. Like when my college boyfriend and I did try it a second time, let's say, I don't know, 10 years later or whatever it was, I was a very different person, right? Obviously. And so was he. And that was actually the number one reason that we were like, this can't go forward. Like, this isn't going to go anywhere. It wasn't that we didn't still have love for each other, because at this point I've known him and loved him for so long that he just has a place in my heart, right? Like, as all of our first loves will. But it was more like, let's be really realistic about this cannot work. Like, we're just two different people in two different places in our life. And we're not compatible in that way that we were when we were like 20, right? And we were just really real about it.
Yeah, yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do I have better intimacy when my partner struggles with it, or it says as interested in it? So I guess what she means,
I guess
is,
we're talking sex, right?
I don't know. I mean, intimacy. Actually, this is from a man. How do I have better intimacy with my partner? I'm just going to, it's all written incorrect, like I write. When my partner struggles with it and is not interested in it. My first question is your partner going through something? You know, meaning, has the intimacy always been like this, or is this new?
Yeah. And I would ask too, like, when you say intimacy, are you meaning just sex? Because, you know, there's so much more to intimacy. So I think also it's worthy of sussing this out and saying, like, are you seeking sex as a form of intimacy? And if you are, that might be the reason why he or she are not interested, or she, I don't know how he wrote it, but, you know, sometimes if somebody's coming to you and all they want to do is have sex in order to connect, that can put you off from wanting to have sex. So yeah. Like, are their needs being met, right? Like, ask if their emotional needs are being met. And if they're not, how can you meet their needs in other ways, right? Like, what's their love language, all that kind of stuff. Because if they're not feeling connected to you, they're also not going to want to have sex.
Here's what's difficult, I think. And this is a generalization, but you and I talked about this briefly in one of our episodes. Generally speaking, sex for men is more of a impulsive. Physical thing, impulsive thing. And also, you know, when we finish, it's like that. So it builds and we have to, there's like this need and panic to release, right?
I have to clarify here. It's not a more physical thing. I actually think that's a dangerous road to go down. It's not that it's more physical. It's just a different form of desire. I think that's what we were talking about during our last episode.
Well,
actually biologically they've shown that there's not that much difference in it being physical between men and women.
Well, I'm talking about just specifically the release, the physical differences in release. So women can have multiple orgasms. I'm not saying they're not frustrated if they don't release. Men, it's just they have to release this once and then they can't have multiple orgasms. Or I don't know, maybe if you're, you know, Sting and you're doing tantra shit for 12 hours, maybe, you know, but just like, you know, the average man. And of course, this is a generalization. And because of that, that being one piece, I think men are less focused on creating the space, like you said, you know, making people feel safe, setting the mood, all of that, because we're just interested in more of the physical act. I think women more so have to be in the mood. Like I think women need the buildup. Men are just looking for a release. And that's a very kind of extreme exaggeration.
Yeah, Sarah, like, I actually disagree with you, but keep going.
Generally speaking, and so that's why there's the disconnect. It's hard. I agree that there has to be space for intimacy to be created. You can't just force it unless both people are on the same page and that's what they're looking for in that moment. But I think the disconnect is men are looking more so.
I don't think we need to gender it. I actually just think it comes down to what's the desire type, right? Which we talked about before. What's the, like, is their love tank full, regardless of man or woman? Like, are they actually feeling loved and feeling like they're connected to you?
We don't have to gender it, but how could you not take into consideration our just the way that we're wired? And there's a difference in the way that we're
yeah, but
wired.
I mean, as a woman, I've also been many times just totally wanting something physical for just a release, and I could give two shits if I'm emotionally connected to somebody or have a buildup.
Sure. First. Yeah, that's why it's a general. That's why I'm saying it's a generalization. That's why it's broad strokes, generally speaking. But I would say more. But wouldn't you say more so? I mean, yes, you've had those moments and urges, but wouldn't you say overall you need to feel safe and feel connected and have that runway before you desire intimacy?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the kind of sex I'm looking for.
Right. And so for me, it's different. Like, yes, of course, as a human being, I would want that, especially now that I'm 47, I would want that, right? I would want the connection, the intimacy, the foreplay, whatever. But I also, I think because of my wiring, more so than you, it could just be a physical release.
Can I just argue this point a little bit more? I just want to say that because I'm not an expert in this, in sex therapy and gender and biology of this stuff, I do believe that it's more socialized than it is biological.
Sure. No, I mean, I think that's a huge factor.
I think you're right. I think there's a biological component for sure, bottom line. But I do think actually it's more socialized than we have even started to like begin to understand.
Yeah. I mean, I could say, you know, growing up, you know, since 12, seeing images and things like porn has definitely impacted my definitions and what I was trying to create in my 20s. Not so much anymore, but in my early days, right? Yeah. And then you could also factor in where people are, you know, sexually kind of peaking.
Yeah, their age.
Yeah, I mean,
that component.
I can tell you that's a real thing. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I would think about sex 95% of the day. Now that I'm 47, I think about food. I think about swimming pools.
Anything done in life, like 95% of your day.
Well, you know what? When I was that age, one of the things that made me angry was, and again, I get it, it's a generalization, but I would be like, this is unfair because we have to deal with our fucking boners and, you know, the wind blowing and all that and the blue balls and all that. And women aren't thinking about sex, especially at that age, that much. And so, you know, hence the frustration and all of that. But women do peak later. So I don't know, what is it, 30?
I think that's been disproven too. I'm just poking at your theories here because I actually just want to be like really super open about the fact that a lot of this stuff is social. It's not, it's actually been disproven. It's a lot of like theoretical shit that we've been taught to believe. And so much of this stuff has been completely disproven in the last like 5-10 years.
Well, I know, I mean,
you could speak for you.
Yeah. I know that although I am generally a sexual, kind of a highly sexual person, I know the arc of it. I feel it in my body that I'm very different now than I was in my 20s. And I don't know, you know, what it is like for women, but I think that they have an arc too. I don't think from 20 to 40, it's consistent and the same. I think it changes. I also think it depends on where you're at in your life and how much stress you have.
Yeah, I think that's probably a bigger component to it.
Okay,
but what I mean, biology, you're right. I mean, bottom line, we all age, and the aging definitely contributes to our sex drive. And if you're talking biology, as men get older, they lose testosterone, they gain estrogen. As women get older, they gain testosterone, they lose estrogen. So there's that component to it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, staying away from gender and generalizations, I mean, just bringing it back to you and your relationship, I would talk about it.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I totally agree. I mean, what, like I said, like, are her needs being met, right? Like, what does she feel as intimacy? Like, having these questions, I think, these conversations are really important.
And I've learned that not having sex isn't about sex. Usually not having sex and intimacy, if that is missing, there's stuff happening underneath, and there's a reason why that's missing. It's not a sexual thing.
Right.
Generally speaking, it can be, but usually it's an emotional thing. Usually there's some kind of disconnect, maybe resentment, maybe trust has been cracked. You know, there's all these other things that are foundational in the relationship that gets people to not want to be intimate with the other person. Or at least, you know, put it on the back burner, or that isn't a priority. It's not just time or sex.
Right.
Well, guys, thank you for your questions. And we will continue to answer more and disagree. And
that's good. Healthy disagreement is good.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I don't think, I think it's annoying if you're talking to, especially a couple, and they're just like, And it's like, I don't need this shit in stereo. I want to hear different perspectives, right?
Right. I think it would be boring if you and I agreed on everything.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Be well. Hey, before you go, if you want to engage with Vanessa or I live, we both teach in the TAT Lab. The TAT Lab is live virtual wellness classes, all using Zoom. These are not video courses. These are live groups and classes. A team of experts with lots of experience and also their own stories, teaching everything from healing trauma to Vanessa teaches codependency. We have attachment styles, relationship classes. I do something called Ask Angry, and that is basically a giant check-in. We've got book clubs. We've got meditations. Come check us out at TAT-Lab. That's TAT-Lab.com. And get a week for free and come say hi to me and Vanessa.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.